one announcement I did fail to make is, and I can't remember, I don't have the calendar, is it the second or the seventh? Which is it?
Seventh.
We're going to have a baptizing next month on the 7th over here at the creek. Rain or shine, snow or sleet. We're going to have a baptizing. So we have two candidates to be baptized that day. And if, if you have a need to be baptized, and the Bible says go and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son. And, you know, and you want to do that, I can assure you that it'll be cold enough for you to remember. So just remember that as we have an old-fashioned baptizing in the creek next month on the 7th, the Lord's will. So just keep that in mind. I tell you, we're so thankful for you folks that are here today. And we're going to bring a message today that, and the name of the message is Meaningful Must. You know, a lot of time when I say meaningful must, and that, don't make me say that three times real fast, meaningful must. You know, if someone's having a heart attack, you might say, well, we must take them to the doctor. That's a meaningful must, ain't it? If you're walking down the shoes, down the store, and you look in the window, ladies, you said, I must have them shoes. See, there's some things that have meaning, and other things don't have much meaning. But I'm going to share with you some musts today that have meaning, that things that we must do and things that we must accomplish in our life to fulfill our life here on earth. And I'll tell you, all these musts that are meaningful for life will make a difference 100 years from now. The musts that will matter for 24 hours, they're really not that important, are they? So we're going to talk about meaningful musts, and we're going to share with that with you. If you'll turn to John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7, verses 14, and verses 30 as we think about some things that the Lord said we must. If you're planning on going to heaven, when you die, you must be born again. I want to say that one more time. If you're planning on going to heaven when you die, ye must be born again. Amen. The first birth was corruptible seed of man. The second birth is the incorruptible seed, the word of God, appropriated by the miracles of the working power of the Holy Ghost. Have you experienced a new birth yet? It's a must. And as we read God's word, I'd like for you to stand just to honor God's word if you're able. Hey, if you're not able to stand, stand up in your heart. John chapter 3, verse 7. And the Bible reads such as this. Marvel not that I say unto thee, and I want you to repeat with me, church, ye must be born again. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, I want you to say it, church, must be lifted up. Look in, if you will, in verse 30. The Bible says, he must increase, I must decrease. Those are the essential musts that we're going to speak on today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you'd go and be with us as we come together, Father, as a body in Christ. And Father, we just pray that you would help us, that we would honor you with each thing that's said and each thing that's done. And Father, let us set aside all the doubts and all the fears. And Father, let us dedicate ourselves to those things we must need today. And Father, let us not let one leave here today lacking. And Father, we just pray that you would go and that you would accomplish your will and way in our lives today. For these things, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. I want you to realize today that as we look into God's word, and we find over there that there's conditions for great blessings. And I want you, Will, if you will, to turn with me now into Luke chapter 24, and I want to read verse 44. The Bible reads in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, it says this, as we consider this today. And here we find that we are coming to a point, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, it said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while it was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written of the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." I want you to realize there's a must to be spiritually satisfied with what God is doing in your lives today.
Amen.
Did you know the Bible says how a lot of folks, that you might be doubting your salvation, you might be doubting what's going on in your life, and I'll tell you, the Bible says that we're to read it to know that we're saved. Are you with me? Hey, listen, you're shortchanging yourself today if you're not reading and studying the Word of God. If you're not finding over there the truths that God is speaking to your heart today, because there is a satisfaction that goes along with the fact that the Lord said, "There are those words which I spake to you while I was with you, that these things must be fulfilled, and it's written in the laws of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." The law of Moses was a fulfillment for the Lamb of God. Amen. You know, when Jesus Christ came, he said, "I didn't come to do away with the law, but that through me that the law might be fulfilled." I'm glad to tell you today that it's a meaningful must to study the Word of God. It's a meaningful must for us to learn the truths that God has spoken to us. Not only did it the prophet fulfill as a living Lord, a prophet, a priest, and a king. I want you to realize today, if you want to know the face of God and you want to know the heart of God and you want to know what God has for you and I, we will find it contained within these scriptures today. The Psalms fulfilled the suffering Savior as a sovereign Lord. We'll say it one more time. It fulfilled the fact that we had a suffering Savior who became a sovereign Lord today. Amen. You'll never understand, child of God, born again Christian, why you suffer in this world until you look into the Word of God and find that we must bear our own crosses. And that's a must today. Amen. Suffering is a must. Suffering is a must. I want you to realize one of the great ministries that God is fulfilling in our lives today comes through suffering with the understanding of the Word of God. See, you'll never know the suffering and the purpose of suffering until you find the answers in the book over there. But suffering is a ministry. And we got to move on with it. I want you to realize today that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." He has made him to be sin for us, who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Second must we must have today. There must be a sinless substitute. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sinless dying for sinful, shameless dying for the shameful, sovereignty dying for the sinner. Jesus Christ fulfilled it when he became that perfect substitute. In Exodus chapter 12, Brother Eddie preaches a wonderful message on this. As a matter of fact, I would say that if there was such thing as a key message, that would probably be Brother Eddie's. Now, I want to tried to steal much of his thunder, but in Exodus chapter 12, it talks about how that we are to go out and get a lamb, not just any old lamb, and how that that lamb has to be prepared, and it has to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. But that lamb serves no purpose until you adopt it and make it your lamb.
Amen.
There must be a sinless substitute for our sins today.
Amen.
You know, today, if you're counting on, and I know we're speaking over the internet today, and I like to speak to those folks also. I want you to realize today that if your faith is in your church, and your faith is in your baptism, and your faith is in your church membership, and your faith is doing good deeds in the community, and your faith is in all these, you'll die and go to hell, because there has to be a substitute.
Amen.
For your sin. See, we couldn't, we're none of us here. We are, for the Bible said over there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord today. Did you know, beloved, there has to be suffering for sin? Did you know over there that you will not leave this world unless you pay the price of suffering? Did you know today that as we think about these things, that the Bible said over there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, it said, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. Aren't you glad today that he gave us a cross? That cross is hard to bear sometimes, isn't it? Aren't you glad today that he said that you can call yourself a Christian? You can mimic me. But I want you to realize today, born again, saved by the grace of God, there must be suffering for sin today. Hey, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The penalty was decreed by the Lord himself. I want you to realize that the punishment for breaking God's law was death. Did you know that today? Did you know that every one of us are under a death sentence? Amen. When we're born into this world, and I want you to realize today, the day that you're born, you started dying. Amen. Is that right today? Am I right? Hey, if you don't believe that, don't take a bath for 3 or 4 days and you'll already smell like you did. Amen. I want you to realize today that we're under a death sentence.
Amen.
Why are we under a death sentence? We were born into sin. Amen. Hey, we come into this world and we were born under that sin penalty. But praise God, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that we have all sinned. Hey, beloved, next time you go to suffering, next time you go to hurt, next time that you go, I want you to realize that's part of the sentence of sin. For sin entered into the world, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord today.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to have to suffer in this world, amen? Hey, turn that person next to you and say, we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer before we leave this place. And with that realization over there, there has to be a suffering for what reason? Sin. You say, how do we relieve the suffering? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad that our sins were bore 100% on Calvary. Amen. I'm glad that the substitution on the cross was sufficient. I'm glad today that the amount of blood that was shed was enough, that my sins were dealt with at Calvary. And I can't add to that. I don't care how hard I try. I don't care what I might do. I don't care what I might do in life. I can't add to what Jesus already done at Calvary. Even though it was paid for, there's a penalty for sin. And we pay it every day.
Amen.
Even if it's forgiven and sin, there's a penalty for sin, and we pay it every day. Oh, I'm glad I've just got the symptoms instead of the disease. Amen. Ain't you glad today? Hey, listen. You must suffer in this world. You can't get around it. I'm glad to tell you today that the price of redemption was paid for by Christ. A lot of times I tell you, the old devil you suffer to get you down on Jesus. Amen. Amen. The devil use circumstances sometimes to get you to second thinking God. But I want you to realize his grace is sufficient unto the hour. His grace is sufficient unto that day. Another must I'd like for you to talk about. Let's go back in the book of John. John chapter 20 and verse 9. Well, I'm ahead of schedule. I might have to sing a song. Y'all be praying that don't happen. John chapter 20 and verse 9 says this. The Bible reads, "For as they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Here we're talking about how that the Marys got up that morning, and they went into the tomb over there, and they were so astonished. And in fact, over there, when they looked and they stooped and they looked in, that there was an empty tomb, and all that was laying there was the napkin that went over the face over there, neatly folded in its place. And here Jesus had taught the disciples and had taught those that were around him over there how that he must die and raise and be risen again on the third day. Not that they had not heard the scripture, not that they had not experienced the scripture, not that they had not heard it before. But he said, "For they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Here's the other meaningful must for you today. There must be a surety of resurrection. Amen. They must be a surety of resurrection. Here these women over there had heard the scripture. Jesus had demonstrated the scripture. He even went to one thing. As y'all remember in the first grade when they used to do show and tell? He used Lazarus as show and tell. He used Lazarus over there, the example over there. He said, "Let's make sure he's dead. Let's make sure there's no doubt. Let's leave him in there until he stinks. And I'm going to show the world that resurrection is only a mood thing for a sovereign God today." And when he said, "Come forth, Lazarus," and Lazarus come over there, and he started spinning around like a top. But that there was one fella over there, he said, "Go over there and take that napkin off his face." Now that took a lot of faith. Here somebody was dead, they'd been stinking, to go over there and do that. And I believe he sat there and twirled like a thing. And as he come over there, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he come forth from that grave.
Amen.
But yet, after seeing these things, after experiencing these things, and after doing all these things, it's for yet they knew not the scripture that he must be born again and rise from the dead. Beloved, I tell you, it takes a lot more than reading the Bible to know the Bible. Huh? It takes a lot more than going to Sunday school. It takes a lot more than challenging yourself or getting on the computer and taking this course and that course and this course and that course. You can have all this give to you and still not know the scripture. Here we had these women who walked with the Word of God. They didn't have the Word of God, they lived with the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'll hate to say it, you talk about coming from the horse's mouth. Talking about drinking out of the spring.
Yeah.
You're talking about getting it from the top.
Amen.
Yet after all this exposure, they still didn't know the scripture that he must be raised from the dead. I'm telling you today, beloved, there's a must that we have a surety of resurrection. See, Jesus Christ was the fruit, the first of resurrection. Matthew chapter 20, or no, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Why do we need to have the surety? You must have the surety of resurrection. There's three things that sustain me. One is the book. Word of God sustains my soul. Number two is the great blessings of God.
Amen.
Number three, my blessed hope. You say, preacher, what's your blessed hope? Well, I'm glad you asked. My blessed hope over there is that that grave ain't going to hold this body down. My blessed hope is over there that one of these days over there that I'll take flight and I'll leave this old world behind. My blessed hope over there in these last days is over there that the Lord might come back. He could come back any day, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise again, and we which remain shall be caught up to be with him on the air. Oh, if I wasn't so old, I'd run. I want you to realize today, you need an assurance. Need to nail it down.
Amen.
That resurrection will take place.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that'll get you through the hardest moment in your life today. See, I happen to believe that these old cemeteries one day is going to look like the top of a pepper box over there. And that that there'll be souls are coming out. They'll be joined with a glorified body. And we'll take off over here. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which remain shall follow them. And we'll leave out of here like shooting a 30-06 rifle over there. And there we will be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with him. You must believe that today. Because I'm going to tell you something, if you don't believe that today, you'll give up on the Lord. You'll give up on the Lord. See, we got that ministry of suffering. Do you know if we didn't suffer in life, we'd never leave here. Amen. We wouldn't want to anyhow. They never saw us suffer. We'd never want them to go anyhow. Amen. Of course, there's some folks I'd like to see them go, but that's a different message. While we're into it, 2019 could be that very year. Amen? Ye must see the signs of the rapture.
Praise God.
I wasn't going to get into that today, but while we're here, we might as well. What, you must see the signs of the rapture going on.
Amen.
Bible says in the last days that there'll be perilous time coming. Bible says over there in the last days that they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. In other words, they'll be playing church. You know, Matthew chapter 24 and 26, 24 and verse 6 says the same thing, but I like Luke better. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 9. Same subject material. Luke chapter 21 and verse 9. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 9, it tells about the times in which we're living in. And it says over there in and 21 in verse 9 over there, that they will be in the last days. That they will be in the last days. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must come to pass. And I really like the way the writer of Luke puts it. But the end is not by and by. How many of y'all agree we're living in scary times?
Amen.
What did I tell you? The inmates have taken over the asylum. Amen. Hey, listen, there's more nutcases out there than a squirrel could gather up. I want you to realize today over there that the Bible says, but when we hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not. By and by. Boys, I'm here to tell you by the authority of the Word of God today. When it gets so bad, the Lord's going to open the door. He's going to say, children, come on home. Do you know that we will not endure the wrath of God? The Bible tells me that. It'll wax old, on and on and on, and we'll see these things happen over there. But I want you to know that it's leading up to the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Beloved, I want you to consider just today, there must be signs of the rapture to the saints today. Can you imagine what it's going to be, the disappearing of all born-again believers one day? The destruction of the religious service? When all the saints are missing, some churches won't be affected, by the way. Are you with me? Some churches will not be affected by the rapture. Because what is the rapture for? It's for the born again, saved by the grace of God, child of God, regardless of what your affiliation might be, regardless of what denomination you might be. Why is that? It's because God don't look on the door, he looks on the heart.
Amen.
How about the disillusion of the world when they wonder what happened? They'll explain it away. They're good at that. Amen. You talk about fake news. We ain't seen no fake news yet. When they start trying to explain away the rapture of the church. Did you realize that today? I want to be a part of that. How about you today? Hey, you must look for the signs of the rapture of the church. You know, the Bible says over there that they was 10 virgins, and some were foolish, and some were wise. And the Bible says over there that the wise one said they had oil in their lamps,
amen,
and their wick was trimmed and burning because they were waiting for the bridegroom that day. And they was 10 that were foolish over there. And it came to the point of time over there, it said, we want some of your oil. We don't got no oil for our lamp. And it said, well, they went out to find oil. said the bridegroom came, and they were found wanting.
That's right.
Hey, if there's ever been a time that we need our lamps all trimmed and burning, and how do we know that? Because we're looking at the signs. We know that it's getting close for the bridegroom to come. We're looking at the signs. We know that it could happen any day. If we prepare our lives for that. Born again, saved by the grace of God. I got good news for you. It's all worth the living because he lives today. Boys, if I could sing, I'd just break loose in that. It's worth the living because he lives. Hey, there must be a settling for Christian service. We talked about work today. There must be a settling for Christian service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There must be a settling up for Christian service. I want you to realize that my account with the Lord was large when I was lost. Yeah. I owed more than I could ever pay. There is no way that I could live a good enough life to make up for the evil that I had done. And there's never no way over there that I could compensate goodness for evil over there. And I was spiritually bankrupt. But I'm glad today that Jesus Christ paid mine for me. Amen. I'm glad that my account is settled. I'm glad to tell you today, but there has to be accounting for what? Christian service. Now, I don't worry about accounting my sin. Jesus Christ done that at Calvary. Am I sorry for him? Yes. Does it bother me? Yes. But they were paid for at Calvary. But you know that we will stand before him and give an account of what we did or did not do. As a child of God, a born again child of God, for reward's sake. For reward's sake. You know, I ain't never had much down here. And I'll be honest with you, I never did want much down here, amen? I just wanted to kind of play my piano, sing my song, and go my way. That's what old Ray Stephen said. No, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. And this old world's not my home. When I die, somebody else will live in that house. When I die, somebody, well, my cars won't probably last. If you got a good car, somebody else might drive your car. It's all temporary. It's all meaningless. We just been studying, though. Solomon said it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. I mean, you know, somebody else is going to own it. Somebody else is going to live in it. So why worry about it? But I hope I've laid something up in heaven, amen. I do. Bible says if you put it in heaven, it said neither the moths can come in and eat it up. The thieves can't come in and steal it. It'll be waiting for you when you get there. But there must be a settling up for Christian service. Some of the richest people I've ever known in Clay County had very little. I think about some great old men of God in this county that I have known. I think about people like Clarence Martin. Never did have much, but guarantee his mansion's bigger than mine. I think about Preacher Cable. Lived about as humble a life as anybody could live. Never had much of anything. But I guarantee you that his mansion's bigger than mine. And I think about some of the richest men that I've known in Clay County. I'll know in heaven one day. Why is that? Because Christian service pays. Amen.
Amen.
You might not see the great riches here in this walk of life, and you might not see the great riches here, but I'm telling you, you'll receive eternal dividends. Amen. Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you what judgment's going to feel like for some folks when they stand before God and they give an account of what they did or did not do for him. We'll regret the wasted time, talents, and tithes that we did not give. Wasted talents, tithes, and time that we did not give. You know, I've sat with a lot of people when they have died. I mean, I really have. I've been with a lot of folks when they've drawn their last breath. You know, and I've never heard one yet say, boys, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. I wish I'd have put in more overtime. Vast majority of those people said, I wish I'd have done more for the Lord. I wish I had done more for my family. I wish I had done more for that, because it was a time of great regret. When time is run out, there must be a settlement for Christian service. Did y'all know that we'll receive rewards for faithful service? And we will rejoice with the Lord forever on that accounting day. John chapter 3 in closing. We started out with this verse, we'll end with this verse. Marvel not that ye must be born again. There must be a spiritual birth for salvation to take place. The new birth is not a choice. It's a must. Ye must be born again. Now, a lot of people over there, they say, well, I'll choose the way that I am saved. No, there's not but one way, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no other name found under heaven whereby men shall be saved. Nicodemus said, do I have to go back into my mother's womb? Do I have to go back and do that? And he said, no, but ye must be born again. I'll do some simple math for you today. We'll close with that. If you're going to be born twice, you're going to die once. If you're going to be born once, you're going to die twice.
Amen.
That's as simple as I can put it to you today. As a matter of fact, we'll go one step further. The Bible says that if you know me, you will never die.
Amen.
The new birth is is not reformation. It's regeneration.
Amen.
See, reformation said, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. We've all had kids do that, didn't we? Right before they get that switching. Oh, don't whoop me, Mama. I won't do it again. And you switch them, and ain't 30 minutes later, the little devil's out there doing it again. That's reformation. We got regeneration. In other words, we ain't the same person no more. When you get saved, the Bible says the old man dies and the new man moves in. The Bible says over there that all things become new. I'm glad today that I'm regenerated. Not reformed, but regenerated. You're not the same person that you used to be. You don't think the same way that you used to do. You don't go and listen. I tell people this all the time. Eddie probably deals with it more than I do. I know people out here that get saved sometime. Their life is a mess over there. And I'll tell you something that'll happen over there. When you get born again, you'll get new friends. Amen. You'll go to new places. You'll go and do new things. Why is that? Because you're a new person. Bible says some people like they're like a dog returning to the vomit, or they're like a pig that returns to the mire. I'm glad to tell you today that you must have a spiritual birth to be saved. Ye must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto thee, thou must be born again. Y'all come on and do a song, if you will. And I said earlier, we think that we must do a lot of things. But I want you to realize that most of the things that we put priority on could probably wait or left undone. We go out here and I know people tell me, said they'll talk about a picture show and they say, well, you must go see that movie. I don't go see that movie. You know, I didn't die or anything. People tell me every day, I've heard this all, you must get a cell phone. I ain't got a cell phone. I ain't going to get one. And that's it. I don't have to do it. And I'm stubborn enough, I won't do it. There's some things you must do. And I think I've shared them with you today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need to come to this altar, you need to pray for someone. Bible says bring every little need before the Lord. For he is gracious. He is able to do that which needs to be done in your life today. Will you just trust him today as we give an invitation? If you'd like for me to pray, will you come take me by the hand? If you need to come to the altar, you come right on. But God loves you today and he wants to meet that need. Will you come? 155. 155.